Let's move on into the chapel as quickly as we can this morning, and we'll begin our service with use of 194. I want to welcome each one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior. It's good to see you on this chilly morn. Spring's surely going to get here eventually, though. 194. Let's kneel in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this day thankful for the opportunity to be in a place where we can worship thee freely, for the opportunities that you have given us in our lives to share with one another and with those around us, for the opportunities that you give us daily. I pray that you give us the courage to use them to their best advantage. And as our brother would stand before us this day, help us to understand those things that he would speak to us, that we will be more prepared, ready to do thy will, ready to be those humble servants and faithful that you have called us to be. There are those that are sick, Lord, some that are grievously ill, and I pray that you bless each one of those that will be administered to this day, that you'd reach down and touch them, that you'd be with all that we do, guide and direct, and I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen. And we'll take up the collection, and I have a few cards and announcements. Continue our service with the use of number 136. And we'll have the blessing of a little accident at this time, so if Sam. I know that each one of you know our brother. You know him well, perhaps better than I don't know. But I've learned to appreciate his steadiness. Learn to smile at some of the things that I see similar between he and I. You know, he's blessed with a private secretary. And every morning she gets him directed in the right direction with his life. And I have that same advantage. That private secretary that says, you need to do this today and, you know, get it done now. And it's a help. I have no idea what his topic is this morning, but I am confident that God has instructed him with what you and I need to hear.
Thank you, brother. I would appreciate your prayers for me this morning. You know, I really feel like I could actually just stand up here and say what a beautiful day it is, what a great opportunity we have to witness this service, to witness the blessing of this baby here this morning. I'm fed. I feel good about that. And I could sit down and we could be done. But then I can't do that. Now, for those of you that don't know me, I'm really not a long-winded speaker, so I want you to note that we are starting. And so if I run over, please bear with me. But I'm truly excited to be here, and I want to start off by telling a story. I want to tell this story of a story that was really relayed from one of our brothers in the Philippines. And the story that he told, he started to tell a story of this monkey. And this monkey up in this tree, and the monkey was up there, and the winds start picking up, and they start blowing hard. And the rain starts coming along and starts pounding down on this tree and on this monkey. So what does the monkey do? The monkey grabs a hold of that tree. He grabs a hold tight, and he holds on during that storm. And he weathers the storm. All of a sudden now, the monkey's up in the tree, and it's a beautiful day. Picture 85 degrees, 90 degrees, no humidity, nice calm breeze. The monkey lays back on the branch, stretches out, warms himself, starts to fall asleep, and he falls out of the tree. You know, this story, I think of this monkey as a lot like ourselves as parents, our brothers and sister that brought up their baby. See another little baby right up here in the front here this morning. As parents, we have the responsibility to be that monkey that is hanging onto that tree, holding onto that tree so tight that our children do not fall out of that tree. I remember the first time that I went, my kids were walking along with me and we were in a large crowd. I just remember picturing and seeing my kids, and I would not let them out of my sight. I felt like that person that was just continually walking behind them with my arms out, making sure that I knew where my children were, hanging on to that tree. What an awesome, awesome thought it is in my mind to think that as a young mother and a young father, you get to dream for your child now. You have the responsibility to watch. You know, we also partook in a special ceremony this morning in that blessing of the baby. We also partook in the laying on of hands. We in the Church of Christ have a belief, and in our belief, we believe that through the atonement of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinance of the gospel. We have faith. Do we have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith and believe that if you can grab a hold of that tree and hang on, that your Heavenly Father is there with you? Now we have to do one thing. We have to be obedient to those laws. Turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I I have to admit, I have a really hard time in delivering a sermon in that I really like interaction. And when it's a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, I don't get to have that interaction. So I'm going to look at your faces, and I'm going to look for those smiles. If I'm way off base, somebody go ahead and give me a thumbs down. Turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Here in these passages, Paul is talking to us. He's talking to each and every one of us. And as he's speaking to us, he's telling us, walk worthy. Walk worthy of the calling that you have had. As a new parent, your calling is that watch, care, and protection over your child. As a young person, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to the Sunday school lesson that I sat in. My brother Dan invited me to come and sit in with the young people's or the young adults class. As we sat downstairs and we talked about that, I really thought, you know, we could just capsulize this message and here it would be. It was a great message, but our brother Danny made a comment, and one of the comments he made was, whatever you are nuts about, and those are exact quotes from our brother Dan, whatever you are nuts about, that is where your mind is and where our heart is. Where is your mind and your heart today? My brother Jose, where's Jose at? My brother Jose, he told me, he said, Dan asked him, he said, Jose, where's your mind going to be today when Jeff's standing up front? He said, well, Jeff better keep this interesting or my mind may wander. So Jose, I'm up to that challenge. We're going to work on that. Where is your heart today? What are you nuts about? Where is our mind? Where is our focus? Paul is telling us, he's telling us to walk worthy of the calling that we have. He's telling us what to do. And really, I'm a person that I believe a very simple person. I need to be told sometimes. My brother Jim told us of our personal secretary. I actually call her my boss. I need that direction for my wife, that reminder. Paul then tells us how to do it. He's told us what we need to do, and now he tells us it's very simple, it's very easy to follow. Have humility. What is humility? I'm often brought to the thought of humble people, examples in our lives, right? We can start off and we can think about different sports figures in the world today, right? Is that humility? I love to play baseball. I never really played it that much growing up, but now today I love to get out with my boys and I love to play baseball. I love to go with my boys and help them at practice. I love to do nothing else some days than just go outside and throw that ball back and forth. But the sad part of it is that the example that is set before them in baseball, there's not a lot of humility. But the example that is set before us is right here in this room today. The example that is set before us is those grandparents of ours, our brothers and sisters that were those examples that have been set before us. As a young person growing up in this church, I remember the adult men that would reach out and shake my hand as a young child. That was the example that was set before me. Humility. No one too good to reach out their hand to just some young kid that probably isn't paying attention, that maybe his heart wasn't in this room. His heart may have been outside throwing that ball. And then finally, Paul tells us to be patient. Patient toward others. Are we patient people? I used to think I was a patient person. And he says, working hard at unity or in harmony among God's people. Let's keep reading. Again, I want to go back to the fourth verse there. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One blessing of a baby. You see, you think about that, and I love to envision this. You think of that life, that new life. We have a couple just brand new infants here today. Think about how much life they have ahead of them. How much responsibility and worry that the parents will have. Yeah, there'll be nights all night long when the baby's crying, and you're thinking, oh man, when is this going to end? But that time passes, and you get to lay that baby on your chest and pat that baby and dream for that baby. Our Heavenly Father, He pats us on our back, and He dreams for us. You see, but we have to grab a hold of that tree, and we have to hold on. We love to lay out and stretch out in that sunlight, that warm sunlight, and relax. One body, one Christ, Christ's church, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, let's go on to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, continuing at the seventh verse there. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Our gift. What is our gift? I want to tell you something that really, really excited me. We pulled up to the Chili Supper last night, and as Michelle and I were pulling up, we looked and there were no lights on in the church, and we were running a few minutes late. It was right at 6:30, and I was scared to death. I thought, oh no, you know, we want the young people to have the best experience. Fortunately, we were just locked out. Not a problem. We opened up those doors, and the people came flooding in. And it was a packed room last night. A lot of chili. I didn't hear the final numbers of what was raised for the young people. But you know, I think of that experience last night, and I think of that opportunity for our youth and that support of our youth. If that is our one job that we have, let's do it. What is our gift? What is our role in the church? I'm appreciative of our brothers and sisters that give their time to our youth. I'm appreciative of our brother that takes the time to show up early to church and make sure the door's unlocked, the building's warmed up. I'm appreciative of those that feel that their job is to clean the windows, to vacuum the floor. What is our job? I'm going to talk to the young people. What is your job in the future? What are you doing to prepare for that? Skating through school does not prepare us. Skating through life does not prepare us. But our Heavenly Father has given us a gift, and what is that gift? And only you can answer that. Let's go to the story of Gideon. I love that story. It's a story of a man. He was a military and a spiritual leader. He was a man. Actually, let's turn to Judges. Judges, the seventh chapter. Gideon was a man who had the odds stacked against him, didn't he? Here was a man, he was a military and spiritual leader. He was delivered out of Israel from the oppression of the Midianites. Here was a man, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Midian, and he talked to him, or I'm sorry, unto Gideon, and he talked to him. And he appeared unto them and he said, Gideon, you have a job to do. How many of you have had the Lord appear to you all of a sudden, right, and say, you have a job to do? I think my job would probably be easier if somebody would just tell me, Jeff, you have a job to do. See, it doesn't work that way in our lives. But Gideon, he set an example for us and he showed us. He was put in command of an army, started out his army of 32,000 men. Now, Gideon was going to face 135,000 men in this battle. What did the Lord do to him, Gideon? What did he tell him? Let's read about that. Judges, the 7th chapter, starting at the first verse. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, why did the Lord say that? Why were they guided, or why was Gideon spoke to and said, you have too many people in your army right now? Our brother Dan in Sunday school this morning, he talked about pride. He talked about those things that we can do ourselves, holding our treasures in our own hand. The Lord was going to set an example here. Continue on. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So here we are, we start off, and we've got this huge army. Now we're going to face an even bigger army, but we start with a large army ourselves. And the Lord says, you have too many people in your army right now. Gideon, cut them out. Whoa. You know, the odds are already stacked against me. All right. If you're afraid, leave. And I'm thinking about the odds already, you know, 32,000 up against 135,000. How many of us would get up and leave? But we continue on. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Whoa. Gideon, you still have too many people in your army. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Okay, there's a difference here. There's a difference here, and this really draws out. Those that stick their head down in the water and just bury it down in that water and start drinking, cut them out. But those that scoop up that water and lap that water out of their hand, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let the other people go every man into his place. So the story of Gideon. You know, you think about it, and really, we're talking, and picture this, we're talking one person for every 450 Midianites. One person for every 450 people. You know, if you go back to, you think about football. You're one person on a field with 450 people that you're now going to go up against. Run through that line. It's not going to happen unless. You know, the thing about Gideon, and much like us, the Lord has a plan. The Lord had a plan for Gideon. And the Lord's plan was that he was going to set that example for those around him. 450 Midianites. You know, the example and the word that comes to my mind as I think about Gideon, as I think about that experience, Gideon had passion. He had that deep, authentic excitement about the duty that he was given. Was he afraid? I bet he was. What do you think, Cody? You're standing up there against 450 people by yourself. Would you be afraid? Let's continue going on there. And I'm going to skip down to the 10th verse. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake, a barley bread, tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And I'm going to stop there, and I want to go back to that word passion. And you think about that passion. You see, Midian was afraid. There's no doubt of that. Fearful for his own life. I have no doubt of that. But he did the will of the Lord. Turn with me to Mosiah, the 9th chapter. Page 260 in the Book of Mormon. Now in this time, this is in the time of Mosiah. This is an account of Alma, and in this time in Mosiah, Alma recently saw someone die. He saw someone burnt in a fire. And that is Abinadi. Alma just saw Abinadi, who was being burnt, who was being taken captive by King Noah. Alma went up and tried to defend Abinadi, but for fear of his own life, he had to run himself. Abinadi was burned because he was doing the will of the Lord. Abinadi had been held captive. He had been burnt alive, and Alma saw this. Now, what is your first reaction if you would have seen this example of Abinadi being burned in a fire because he was doing the will of the Lord? What would you do? Alma, he ran and hid. But it was the next step that was important. Starting at the 51st verse. And it came to pass that Alma, having authority from God, ordained priests, even one priest to every 50 of their number, did he ordain to preach unto them and to teach them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Oh, wait a second. Alma just saw Abinadi die because of what Abinadi had stood up and told the people. Alma goes out and he gathers up the believers and he starts to convert and he starts to work with them. And he commanded them that they should teach nothing save it were the things which he had taught and which had been spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. King Noah would have killed Alma had he known this. But it didn't stop him. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity, in love, one towards another. You know, that's one of the things that I take great pride in being a member of the Church of Christ, is that love and that unity that we have. That strength that I know that I can go to my brother or my sister for that help. And finally, the 55th verse, and thus he commanded them to preach, and thus they became children of God. You know, Alma really, he had that authority. He had that direction. He was given by God. But do you think it was a mistake? Do you think it was a mistake? Because see, when Abinadi was burnt and when Alma took off running, King Noah sent men out after him. Do you think it was a mistake that they couldn't find Alma? I don't think so. Let's go to 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, page 37 in the Book of Mormon. starting at the 181st verse. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father. This is Nephi talking. This is Nephi talking of his vision. Wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment, and what I believe, I'm sorry, is our Heavenly Father is speaking this and giving Nephi this vision. Wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. And skip down with me to the 186th verse. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. I want to tell you a story, another story. And really, I think about those verses that we read there in the first book of Nephi. And I think about those verses because I want to hang tight onto that tree. But I know in our lives we face many, many challenges. I would love to be able to tell my boys, much like I'm sure my brothers and sisters would love to tell their little babies, that, you know, life is going to be smooth and it's going to be easy. There was a young man who left his village determined to find his way in life. After traveling many miles, he came to a fork in the road where he encountered the elderly sage of a neighboring village. Tell me, old man, which road leads to success? The old man didn't say a word, but pointed down one of the roads. The young man took his heed and eagerly headed down the road, but no sooner had he departed, he returned, bruised and somewhat weary. Maybe I misunderstood you, sir, but I'm looking for success. The old man nodded his head and pointed down the same road as before. Again, the young man set off on his journey only to return, this time more battered than before. You know, old man, I asked you specifically for success, and that road is full of hills and jagged rocks. It's impossible to climb. I'm all bruised and scarred. You joking me? You really don't know the road to success, do you? But the old man, he just sat there and continued to nod his head and point to the road. And he said, success is that way. He said, it's just beyond the hills and the bruises and the pain. You've got to keep on moving. And you see that monkey that was hanging in that tree, he couldn't let go. What happened when he let go? The winds died down and the sun was out and he fell away. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter. I'm on page 628. Starting at the 50th and 51st verse. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. We've seen this morning the example, coming as a little child. But I want you who are baptized to think with me, those who are not baptized, to imagine this. To imagine what it's like, or to remember back when you were baptized. Did we have a broken heart at that time? Were we ready? Were we prepared? I would say at that time in our life, everything was good. But I want you to think back, and if you have to, close your eyes and think about it, that experience. Think about your baptism. Did we have faith in the Lord at that time? Did we come as a little child? Can you say that you're still there today? Okay. I can say that I face the challenges like you do in life. So what has changed? Or who has changed? Turn with me to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, at the second verse. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I want to be that person. I want to learn to tremble at the word. I want to be that person that sits and listens and hears that voice. At one point in time, I have no doubt that each of us were like that little child. Unfortunately, as adults, we face challenges, we face experiences. But that's where we have the opportunity, that strength that we have of our brothers and sisters. You see, Jason's not going to raise this little baby on his own. Fortunately, he has his wife there with him. And fortunately, he has his loved ones and his family members around him to help him with that. Sometimes in life, I know I make my life way too difficult. It's really very simple, and we've been given that direction. A contrite spirit. Our brother Dan in class, and it really hit me when he said it. Do I put my trust, do I put my faith, do I put my strength in those treasures of here on earth? Our brother Dan talked about some of our young men in the class. He asked them, what are they really like? You know, what is that really cool thing that the guys really, really get into? Our brother Noah, he said, guns. Dan asked him, can you take your guns to heaven with you? Noah answered that question. But what we do get to take in heaven with us is our soul. And I look forward to that. Sometimes I think definitely not only do we make our lives more difficult, but really, very simply, we just got to learn to keep it simple. Turn with me in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Another great verse. Our young people that have been to camp, hopefully this will ring a bell in your minds. Starting at the first verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In no way could any of us ever say we are perfect people. In no way can we ever say that we have acted in a perfect way all the time, every day. But here's the great part of it. Is the final example I want to share with you that our brother Dan shared in Sunday school this morning. Is that when we repent, when we bow down our knees, there are angels in heaven yelling hooray. You see, we can make mistakes, and we do, and we stumble. But when we bow down our knees and ask for that repentance, I'm picturing my brother Dan standing up in front of the class, yelling hooray. Those angels in heaven are yelling, hooray. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. My prayer is for each of you, and I ask that you continue to pray for me and pray for our church. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. 182 will be our closing song. Perhaps his words and things will be a source of encouragement when you get to work and someone sneers at you because you bowed your head and prayed for the food that you were about to eat. You'll have the courage just to smile and keep on trucking. 182. There was one announcement that I neglected to make. In the prayer list, there's many names there that we can refer to and pray in our private closets for. Each one of them desperately needed and help from our Heavenly Father. But we managed to forget one this morning, and that is our brother Bill Malone. I believe he's still in the hospital. They're having a great difficult time getting his blood pressure stabilized. The brain bleed apparently has not totally stopped, and he has a nice ugly black eye apparently because of it. So I would ask that you continue to remember him as well. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you desiring to be as children, willing to look to you for our every need. And yet, you have given us a personality and a trait that we call human, and it is not filled with that humility that you have commanded us to have. And so I pray that you would help us to overcome that humanness that's within us, to truly become children that are thine, willing to serve you at all cost. Go with us not only through this day, Lord, but through the remainder of our lives, that we will live them according to thy plan, having the courage to stand for truth, having placed our feet in the path, that though there be sharp rocks and branches and all sorts of things that might stand in our way, we will steadfastly tread on towards that gate that leads to eternal life. I pray that you bless those that are sick, the afflicted, thy children, wherever they might be found upon this earth. And these things I ask in Christ's name, amen.